Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, if you would please. And as we consider moving further in the study of Isaiah, the different movements of the book of Isaiah, again, we've considered the distinction between Old and New Testament sections of Isaiah. We are looking at a portion of the New Testament section, chapters 40 to 66. And when we move on into chapters 58 and 59, just for the last few minutes, I'd like to give a few words of encouragement. For we find the comfort section of Isaiah before us. So here we find 58 and 59, a few highlights. Notice in 58, this is looking beyond the captivity. This is looking beyond the Babylonian captivity, the 70 years there for Judah. Notice in 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. We find words of comfort, words of encouragement. Again, speaking in context, we think of Judah. We think of the Lord speaking to his people in Israel. But yet, we draw great application to our own hearts, don't we? The Lord shall guide thee. We think of the psalmist that speaks about how thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's the Lord that will guide us. And satisfy thy soul in drought. We have true contentment only in him. We that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior can say amen to this. That we know that our contentment and our satisfaction is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will satisfy our soul in drought. The difficulties that we find around us. Recently I enjoy going through the book of 1 Peter, where it speaks about pilgrims and strangers. Heaven is our home. But while we're here, we're as pilgrims and strangers, and we find the difficulties and the sufferings that we endure. It may seem like drought, but it's in Christ that we are satisfied. It goes on to say, and make fat thy bones. You know, you think of the marrow and your fat, you think of the bones and what have you, just an analogy to make us think of something healthy. We have our spiritual health in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him and him alone, by his word, by his spirit. And then as well, it goes on in verse 11, to speak about how thou shalt be like a watered garden. We're going to turn a few pages over to Jeremiah the prophet. And recall what we find in Jeremiah 31 and in verse 12. Again, he speaks about my people. Context, thinking of the nation Israel, but yet with drawing application, 31 and 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And so we find a watered garden. You know, I enjoy trying to have some raised beds and a little bit of a garden out back, and a few fruit trees and vines and what have you. And yet, if you go through drought, if you don't have the water, it's not going to be very luscious. It's not going to be produced very well. And yet, on a spiritual level, we know it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be as a watered garden. I think also of what was said there in the beginning of the Psalms. In Psalms, it speaks, chapter 1, of a blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And notice here, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth so prosper. Are we as a watered garden? Are we as trees planted by the river that have all the spiritual sustenance that we need through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a spring of water, Isaiah 58:11 says, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Oh, the spiritual waters that we have in the Lord Jesus fails not. Back in that main text of Isaiah 58, in 58 verse 12 continues, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Again, by application, are we those that are looking to be those that repair, those that look to rebuild, those that look to be in a sense of moving forward and seeking the Lord's will? You know, in the Old Testament context, you think of that captivity, that Babylonian captivity. And here in this portion of Isaiah, they're looking beyond captivity. Having already had the Babylonian captivity, if you turn to a place like Ezra and Nehemiah, and you find that as the word had come, the Lord allowed through that Gentile King Cyrus to send word, go back. And they could go back and they could rebuild. And there they were. They rebuilt the temple. And they rebuilt the walls. And we find books of Ezra and Nehemiah, great application concerning restoration. That's what we need to think about, is revival when it comes to the things of the Lord, of restoration. Those are looking to, as we borrow from Isaiah 58, those that are ones that are restorers of the paths to dwell in, those that are repairers of the breach. Are we those that are seeking revival and to promote the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in His gospel? Perhaps it does well to think, as another example, is the letter to the seven assemblies in Revelation 2 and 3. One of those in chapter 3 was Sardis. And we find this: "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." And so an exhortation to strengthen the things that remain, as the Lord could come at any time. But while we're here, we are to be those that are repairers, those that are looking for restoration, those that are strengthening the things that remain. We are to be faithful in our individual lives before the Lord, and faithful in the Lord, His assembly, and preaching the gospel. May we be found as those. And then in our last moments, back to Isaiah, just a quick peek into the next chapter, 59. Isaiah 59, verse 1. I failed to mention some of the key words in Isaiah when we were looking at the introduction overview earlier. Some of the key words that you find repeated is the word "behold." It brings our attention to something significant. Behold. In 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." And so we're reminded that the Lord is able. The Lord is willing. He is the one who can save. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Oh, His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. He's willing and able. But, that little word "but" is so significant many times in God's Word. Notice here in verse 2, "But," here's the problem, "but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid His face, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." You know, that's a solemn topic to look at. Places like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and portions, you'll see when it speaks of the Lord will not hear. Oh, He's God of all. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. It's not that He can't do something. He can't sin. But you look at who He is. He knows everything, but He can choose not to hear if iniquity is hidden in our hearts. But your iniquities. Here's the problem. The Lord is willing and able, but Israel, Judah, or even applied to us today, our sin is what stands between us and a holy God. So as you move on further, we find, again, this section that deals mainly with comfort and peace. Notice in verse 8, here we see the contrast. Without receiving the Lord, verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. This is the dealing with the problem because of sin. But then we do notice toward the end of the chapter, verse 16 and 17, we find words that are borrowed in the New Testament. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm has brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness has sustained him. For he hath put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance of clothing. He was clad with zeal as a cloak. And so on. Speaks about dealing with enemies and all following. But so we find righteousness. We see this language that, well, did you think about Ephesians 6 when it's talking about the putting on the whole armor of God? You think about, for us as believers, and that exhortation, that reminder that we need the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But first of all, perhaps you think of the Lord himself when you think of righteousness. You turn to a place like Revelation 19, when it shows the Lord returning on that white horse, and he sets things right after the tribulation time, and as the millennial reign is about to begin, we find him there, and he comes, and we find that one that's true and righteous upon that horse. And if you take those verses 19, verses 11 to 13, it can kind of remind you of reading this portion here as we think of the Lord and who he is. He came in humility, his first advent, as Isaiah 53 spoke of, to die. But he's coming back one day in power and in great glory. He'll set things aright. And he'll rule and reign forever. The one that will be upon the throne of David. And thus, just a few verses of comfort and encouragement here in these chapters 58 and 59. I pray that we'll go away today encouraged in the Lord Jesus, looking at the proper context of Isaiah, of how the Lord was speaking to Judah, and speaking how his people needed to return and follow him. And yet, with great application, our hearts can be challenged. As we see 700 years before Christ came, here the prophet speaks time and again about the Messiah, the one that we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? I pray that you know him as your Lord and Savior. With this, let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask one of the brothers may close us in prayer.